privileged as we begin the winter season of the Danny Grege Hour Midrashah of BRS. We had the opportunity to learn from Ms. Horowitz already in Elul as we prepared for the Yom Narayim. And now as we begin the new winter's month, it's a tremendous privilege and opportunity for us to learn from Mrs. Horowitz. With no further ado, Mrs. Horowitz.
Okay, thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for welcoming me back to your wonderful and warm community at the Boca Raton Synagogue. Even though we are distanced, Baruch Hashem, with the blessing of technology, we can learn together. So when Rabbi Shabtai reached out to me and asked me to present a two-part series this Monday night and next Monday night, Ezra Hashem, at 7 p.m., so I said, is there a specific topic you want me to work with? He said, no, you choose a topic. So I like to talk about Inyani Diyoma. Interesting, in Cheshvan, there aren't really Inyani Diyoma to talk about. Cheshvan is, I think, the only month on the Jewish calendar that does not have days of observation, whether it's a time of Simcha, or whether Rachman al-Tzan like Tisha B'Av, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Asar B'Tevis, it's a time of mourning, and it's really a month that's just a plain month. And given that yesterday and today were Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, today it was Aleph of Cheshvan, we are now early on Beis Cheshvan, I thought that it would be appropriate, the Inyani Diyoma, I thought, is time. So I thought that we could talk about time. So my two-part series is entitled Torah's Perspectives on Time, Appreciating, Maximizing, and Utilizing. I'm actually going to begin with an insight that I heard from Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. Today's Monday. Yesterday evening, I went for a fast talk, and I was listening to a shir by Rabbi Goldberg, your Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, Shlita, and he pointed out something interesting that I never considered before, and of course my title was already submitted, my shir more than halfway prepared. And he told me, there was nothing but the Spirit of God hovering over the surface of the water and into this darkness and chaos and confusion and void. Vayomer Elohim yihi or. Elohim said, let there be light. Vayihi or, and there was light. Vayar Elohim esor ki tov. God saw the light that it was good. Vayavde Elohim ben esor ben echoshech. And we have day one. Okay? So the question is, what did Hashem create first? So if you go with Perak Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, HaBereishis, Bereishis Bar Elohim, Esa Shamayim, Esa Aretz, you might want to tell me that Elohim created Shamayim and Aretz first, the heavens and the earth first. Now we know that's not really true because he created Or first, like I just quoted the Pesukim. He created life first. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg said something that I never considered before. I actually never heard this or read this insight brought down before. He said, no, Hashem did not create Shamayim and Aretz first. Hashem did not create Or first. You know what he said? Hashem created first time. Bereshis bara. So I see somebody nodding who used to learn with me in person in Far Rockaway. Did you hear the same shir by Rabbi Goldberg? Is that why you're nodding? Okay. I thought it was a very interesting and new perspective. I just heard it last night on my fast talk and I added it to my shir. I thought it was a beautiful place to begin. The first thing the Ribono Shel Olam actually created was Bereshis bara. Elohim created Bereshis. Elohim created time. Because the Ribono Shel Olam's name, the Yod, the Hey, the Vav, the Hey, is a contraction of the words Haya, Hove, Vihia. God was, God is, and God will always be. We refer to the Almighty as the Ein Sof. There is no beginning and no end to the Ribono Shel Olam. God is above and beyond time. There's no time to Hashem. He exists simultaneously in all three dimensions of time. The human mind cannot even fathom exactly what that means. And yet when Hashem came and he created the world, the first thing Hashem created, to Rabbi Goldberg, and in order for the world to exist as we know it, is not Shemayim, is not Or, it's not Or, it's not Choshech, the Reish is Bara, Bara Elohim. Why did he create time? Because man, who is the whole focal point of creation, who was created first in 127, then in 27, then in 222, and finally we have humanity as we know it, man cannot exist in a world that is not time bound. And we just celebrated Rosh Chodesh. We are a people who lives within the constraints of time. So that's the first Nakuda, Torah perspective of time. Let's begin at the beginning. Bereishis 1:1, the first thing Hashem created was the dimension of time, because God does not need time, but mankind needs time. I'll tell you, I had a doctor appointment at 4 o'clock this afternoon. and it was about a half hour away from my house. And then they called me to say 4:30. And then, you know, the doctor's never exactly run on time and you have to wait in the room. I said 4:30, I have to be home. I'm telling the secretary I'm giving a lecture on Zoom at 7 o'clock. I don't know if I'm going to make it. We are time bound. Baruch Hashem, I'm here. So they're Baruch Hashem, help me. But we are time bound. So God is HaYehovah V'Yihya. Man is where I live in the right now, in the present, in this generation, in this time. And yet time is fluid. I'm going to begin second Nakuda, which is actually how I want to end. So I will probably say this again at the end. At the Shabbos table this week, I was saying that one of the moves when I exercise, I said, that minute feels like an hour. I never appreciated a minute till that move. So my son, my eldest son, Kanai Nahara, said, don't you know what the theory of relativity is? So I said, what's Einstein's theory of relativity? So when he told me, I said, I'm going to quote this in my shiur on time. My husband said, just look it up online to make sure that it's accurate. So I looked it up online. You could Google it, and it's true. What is Einstein's theory of relativity? Are you ready for this? Maybe some of you know this. Albert Einstein said, because what's the value of a minute? What's the value of an hour? That's the value of 3 seconds. That's the value of one day. We just had Rosh Chodesh. That's the value of the power of renewal. Albert Einstein said, put your hand on a hot stove for a minute. It seems like an hour. Sit with a pretty girl for an hour. It seems like a minute. That's the theory of relativity. I'm going to repeat it. Put your hand on a hot stove for a minute. It seems like an hour. Sit with a pretty girl for an hour. It seems like a minute. So even though I thought it was extremely profound, and it's extremely true, sometimes time flies and sometimes time goes so slowly. And yet we are people who are so time bound. Every month we celebrate the renewal of time in the not Jewish world. Okay, the month changes. You go from the 31st to the 1st. But we have a whole celebration, a whole Kiddush Levana. We sanctify the moon. We sing tefillos to the moon. We talk about David Melech Yisrael by the moon. Everything is counted by time. Shabbos comes in an exact certain time. It goes out at a certain time. The Yomim Tovim are on this day. We fast on this day. Everything is time bound. Bereishis bara Elokim, Esa Shemayim v'Esa Aretz. The first thing you have to know, said God, is that you are mortal, finite, limited people. Limited by what? Limited by time. Not only are we bound by time, and are we a time bound? We always have a calendar for something. You have a calendar for Sfiras HaOmer, you have a calendar for 18 minutes for the matzah, a woman has a calendar for her Zayin Nikiyam, you have a calendar for Bris Milah, you have a calendar for Bar Mitzvah. You have to know the Moed before you bring in Rosh Chodesh, exactly what time the new moon appears over Jerusalem. Apparently this past Shabbos, my son said at the table, is 3:23, I think, in Yerushalayim, AM, when the new moon appeared. Everything is time. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave us a gift, because we cannot exist in the tohu vavohu that is not time bound. Not only are we time bound, we are a lunar bound people, not solar, lunar. And we just had Rosh Chodesh. And we know if you look at Maisa Bereishis, on every day it tells us, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, Yom Echad. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, Yom HaShishi, going from Perek Aleph, the beginning, right to the end of Perek Aleph, Hosek Lamed Aleph, Vayir Elokim Es Kol HaShar Asa, Vihinei Tom Va'od, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, Yom HaShishi. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker. We are a people who begins the day with the night. That's why the people miscalculated by Egel. They started counting on the day that Moshe went up. No, that day was not part of the calculation. You have to wait till that night, because the day begins at night. When do we say Kol Nidre at night? When do we eat Asher Shabbos? In the eve. When is Shabbos over? By Tzeis. We're constantly calculating time. But we are also an Erev comes before Boker people. And this has tremendous Hashkafic implications as well. That the evening comes before morning. And here I'm moving to my second Torah perspective, if you will, on time. We began with Rabbi Avram Goldberg, Bereishis Bara Elokim. We moved to Albert Einstein. Not only are we time bound, we are lunar bound. And there's tremendous significance in the fact that we start our day in the evening. Because Erev represents Erbuvia, confusion. Erev represents darkness. We daven tefillas Maariv, Arvis, in the nighttime. When we are confused, Irbuvia, when things are not clear, when you lack clarity. Maybe not for you, but for me, taking out the garbage by day is not the same as taking out the garbage by night. It's the exact same path. It's the exact same trash can. I'm going the exact same way. But at night, you feel much more unsettled, afraid. That's exactly correct, because night represents galus. Night represents confusion. The tohu v'vohu went along with the choshech al v'pnei tohom. And I think, we are living in a time, no pun intended, where there's a lot of irbuvia, a lot of confusion, a lot of darkness. Sometimes in life, sometimes in decades, sometimes in centuries, it's harder to see the light and it's easier to see the light. And I've said it repeatedly in my classes, between the politics and the pandemic, it seems to be a time of Irbuvia and Erev. But the Torah promises us, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi. That we have the divine assurance, even if it takes a long time, for the sun to break over the horizon, Shacheni ki Allah HaShachar, Vayavek Ish Imo at Alos HaShachar. Yaakov was left all alone. I know I'm skipping a few parshios. And he wrestled and he fought the whole night. That represents our fight through the galus. Galus is hard. Galus is dark. Galus is night. But we know, because we're a lunar people, that because we begin our days at night, after the night, the morning will dawn. I'm going to quote from Rav Salvechik, beautiful, beautiful, Chumash Masoros Harav. I'm quoting from Shmos, Baruch Hashem, I have all five of them. Chumash with Rashi, Unklus, and commentary of Rav Salvechik. Actually, that's for later in the Shir. I'm now quoting Rav Salvechik from the Seder night, an exalted evening, Haggadah Shal Pesach. Rav Salvechik says, genuine Geula, genuine redemption. He's talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, I'm quoting an excerpt from the Rav, the Seder night, an exalted evening, Haggadah Shal Pesach. So he's specifically talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but you will see how the teachings of the Rav here relate very strongly, not only to Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, but from our experiences in Galus, where Galus is represented by night. If you look up in Perek Tesvav, Bereishis, by the Bris Ben Absarim, the covenant between the pieces, when the deep darkness fell upon Avraham Avinu. Well, Mefarshim say there that we're talking about the Arba Galios. Genuine Geula, says Rav Salvechik, genuine redemption always comes suddenly, unexpectedly, at a time when people are ready to give up hope. Sometimes, says Rav, and listen carefully how astute, prophetic, profound, applicable this is today. Sometimes historical situations keep deteriorating. People pray, they cry, they beg for mercy. But there is no answer to that prayer, only silence. At that moment, when the crisis reaches its maximum and threatens the very existence of the community, people begin to give up. The Geula suddenly comes and it takes them out of the land of affliction. Quote, it comes in the middle of the night. And in preparing the Shir with the idea that we just have Bereishis and the theme of exploring time in Torah thought, I specifically went to this piece for you. Vayihi Erev, Rav is saying that from the darkest place of Galus, that's when the Geula comes. From the darkest darkness, the Or will sprout. And that's what we see by the Ribbono Shel Olam's creation. Vayar Elokim es Or ki tov, vayavda Elokim ben Or ben Choshech. There's a distinguishing between light and darkness, but Erev always comes before Boker. Going back to Rav Salvechik, at that moment, the crisis reaches its maximum and it threatens the very existence of the community. When people begin to give up, the Geula suddenly comes and takes them out of the land of affliction. It comes in the middle of the night. It knocks on the door. Open the door, says Hashem. It knocks on the door in the middle of the night when no one expects it. When there's choshech al pnei tohom. when everybody is skeptical about redemption, when everybody laughs off the possibility of redemption because the Erev is so long and the Choshech is so dark. But the Ribbono Shel Olam says, no, the Torah tells you there will be an Erev, but there will be a Boker, Bikur. You will do an investigation and you will see that the Geula has come. This is what happened in Egypt, says Rav Salavitchik. Vayehi bayamim harabim ahim, Shmos 2:23. It was in those great days. Vayamas melech Mitzrayim. The king of Egypt died. And Rashi says you could go look it up to Shmos, Perek Beis, Pasachav Gimel. Rashi says the king of Egypt did not die. Nitzareya. He had Saraas. Vahaya shochet tinokot Yisrael v'rochet bedamam. Is there a deeper darkness than this? The king of Egypt did not die, even though the pshat is he died. Rashi says the drash is he had tsaras. I don't translate that into leprosy. Biblical tsaras is not leprosy. He had tsaras. I'm sorry, I can't translate it. And he would shecht, that's the word that Rashi uses, slaughter, shecht, Jewish babies and bathe in their blood. And the children of Israel groaned from the work, says Rav Salavitchik. When the crisis reached its climax in Golos, and the Jewish people were on the verge of complete assimilation and disappearance, Moshe came. At first, he was very far from successful. They did not expect divine revelation that night. Indeed, this is the most important feature of Geulas Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. The redemption consisted not only that our ancestors went from slavery to freedom. In fact, we say at the Haggadah, me'afela li'ora, from darkness to light. But more importantly, the redemption and the revelation was a surprise. It came as a shock. After such a deep darkness, is there the possibility of redemption? And the answer is, of course, vayehi erev, vayehi boker. Yaakov was left all alone. He said the pasuk out of order. Verses 32, 33. A man wrestled with him in the morning until the morning sun dawned, and then the man let him go and said, "I have to go." Sometimes we're not sure if the morning will ever dawn, but it will. Well, that's the second nakuda of Amunah that we must take from the beginning of the Torah, perspective on time. Bereishis bara, the first thing God created is time. We exist in the dimension of time. So even though if your hand's on a hot stove, it might feel like an hour, and if you're sitting with a pretty girl, it might feel like a minute, lamaisa, there is still an objective quantity of time. The quality changes, but the quantity remains. God is beyond all time. Second of all, we have to know that interwoven into the fabric of creation is a lesson in Amunah, that no matter how dark the Choshech on the Pnei Tehom seems, that no matter how confusing, and it's confusing, the Erbuvia is, Vayehi Boker, there will be the morning sun rising over the horizon. It's very interesting how much of Bereishis has to do with time, because the first Rashi in Bereishis, let's go to that together. I prepared it for you on my screen. Okay, I need someone who I could see. Can you see my screen? Okay, yes. I'm going to be reading it, but for those who want to follow along with me, okay. So here's the first pasuk, Bereishis bara Elokim, Esa Shemayim v'Esa Aretz. We spoke about Bereishis bara, Hashem created time first. An example of Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, right after the light was created. Vayihi Erev, it was evening, it was morning, one day. I want to now go to the first Rashi on Chumash, where Rashi actually talks about Rosh Chodesh. First Rashi. Rashi talks about the power of Rosh Chodesh. How powerful is Rosh Chodesh? Rashi says, and it's a very famous Rashi, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with it, but let's go over it again, because you can never review Torah too many times. Bereishis bara Elokim Esa Shemayim v'Esa Aretz. Bereishis, Elokim created the heavens and the earth. Bereishis, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Lo hayat zarich lahaschil es haTorah, ela me'chodesh ezelachem. The Torah should have began with the first mitzvah. First national mitzvah, I should say, which occurs in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis of the Book of Shemos. The Torah should have begun, translation of this Rashi is my own, from Chodesh Eselachem, the mitzvah is Rosh Chodesh. Yesterday was Astiv Tishrei. Today was the first day of Cheshvan. We just celebrated 2 days of Cheshvan. We all said Hallel. Zayah Masah Hashem Nagila V'Nisbach Habo. We all celebrate the renewal of the moon. You have to know the Molad exactly when the new moon is visible over the Jerusalem sky. Why didn't the Torah begin with the first mitzvah we were commanded? Now I ask you, if you were writing the Torah, which obviously we are not, would you make the first national mitzvah Rosh Chodesh? You know, someone takes a poll in the street and asks you, what does it mean to you to be a Jew? I want to know a little bit about Judaism. Tell me a little bit about Judaism. Have I got a mitzvah for you? You're not going to believe it, but every month we have Rosh Chodesh. I may tell them about Shabbos. The Shabbos project is coming up. I might tell them, I know because I was asked to submit a Dvar Torah. They're like doing a like Shabbos project at home this year. So I'm not sure exactly when it is. I might tell them about Shabbos. I might tell them about Yom Kippur. You can't be a Jew without Yom Kippur. Even assimilated Jews keep Yom Kippur. I might tell them about Bris Milah. You don't do Bris Milah. It's one of the two national mitzvahs for which the two mitzvahs asay for which the punishment is kares, cut off. The other one's Korban Pesach. Today we don't have Korban Pesach, so of course I'm going to tell you about Bris Milah. I may tell you about Shabbos candles. I may tell you about Taharas HaMishpacha. I may tell you about Shabbos Kodesh. I may tell you about Kashrus. You want to be a Jew, you can't eat pork. Can't eat shellfish. You can't mix Basar B'Cholof. Someone comes to you and does a poll and says, tell me, what's some of the most important mitzvos in Judaism, in your religion, learning Torah? Rosh Chodesh. I mean, it's important. But Rosh Chodesh, that's the first thing you're going to tell them. And Rashi says, first Rashi to the entire Torah, I think, says Rashi, the Torah should have begun from, quoting Rabbi Yitzchak, this month is for you. Shehi mitzvah rishona shenitztavu ba Yisrael. So I know it's a beautiful Rashi, very Zionistic, if you want to call it that. I know the end of Rashi and the answer, but that's not the point. I'm pointing out that Rashi begins his whole commentary telling you that Rosh Chodesh, pointing out that Rosh Chodesh is the first national mitzvah. If I was going to answer a poll about what it means to be a Jew, I would not say Rosh Chodesh is at the top of the bucket list. Gosh, do you have to celebrate Rosh Chodesh? Then you're going to know what it means to be a Yid. Umatam pasach b'bereishis. Why did he begin with Bereishis? Because koach mas of the strength of his deeds, he told his people to give them an inheritance if the nations of the world say, you're robbers, you're bandits, you stole our land. So we can say to them, God created the world, he gives it to who he wants, and he takes it away from who he wants. So Rosh Chodesh is the first national mitzvah. Rashi quotes Rabbi Yitzchak and says, you know, maybe the whole Torah should have started from the first national mitzvah, because our whole purpose is to get to Rosh Chodesh. So where do we have Rosh Chodesh? In Parshas Bo, I just went to the next page that I prepared for you. You could see my screen, yes? The people whose camera is open? Yeah, okay, thank you. So we're in Parshas Bo, right? Third Parsha in Shemos, three Makos in Parshas Bo. You see us Mitzrayim, Korban Pasach in Parshas Bo. First national mitzvah. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Vayom Hashem el Moshe vel Aaron Beretz Mitzrayim Leimor. And God said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, HaChodesh hazal lachem rosh chod chadashim, rishon hu lachem lechad sheyashana. Do I have a mitzvah for you? You know what it means, says Hashem, to be a free people? To be a free people? This month is for you. The first of the months, or the heads of the month. It is the first for you of the months of the year. Rashi says, you could see it here on my screen, Her'ehu levana b'chidusha. God showed Moshe the moon in its renewal. B'chidusha, there you have the word chodesh. Ches dalet shin. God showed Moshe the moon in its renewal. Va'amar lo, and Hashem said to him, Kishahayarech mitchadesh yelecha rosh chodesh. You should know, when the moon renews, it will be for you rosh chodesh. What month was this? Chodesh hazalochem. This month is for you. Chodesh Nisan. Because immediately after Rosh Chodesh, we have the command of Korban Pesach. Obviously, we're in Nisan. B'nisan nigalu. B'nisan asidin nigal. So when Hashem says, this month is for you, that's Rosh Chodesh. They should be the first of the counting of the months. The Torah counts time beginning from Nisan. So when the Torah tells us in the seventh month, on the 10th of the month, you shall afflict your soul. Seventh month counting from Nisan brings it to what we call Tishrei. Therefore, Iyar is Sheni, Sivan is Shlishi. We might count from Tishrei, but the Torah counts time beginning from Nisan. Furthermore, Rashi tells us, Niskasha Moshe al Mor HaLevana. This is a new mitzvah. Moshe says, am I a scientist? Am I an astronomer? What exactly am I supposed to be doing here? What am I looking for here? Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm not an astronomer. I for sure don't know. Moshe had difficulty. It was a kasha. Kasha is from the word kasha. He had a big question because it was a difficulty for him. On the molar of the Levona, what does it look like when it's new, when it's renewed, when it's reborn? Be'ezah shir tera. What measurement should it be seen? When is it ready to be Mekadesh? So Hashem showed him with his finger, the moon, so to speak, the moon in the sky, and he says, Kazer Re'eh V'Kadesh. When you see the moon exactly like this, that's when you should do Kiddush Levana. That's when the moon is ripe for renewal. Now I'm going to quote from the Chumash that I brought downstairs, Chumash Masoras HaRav, commentary of Rav Soloveitchik to this Pasuk. What's the power of time? What's the value of time? What does it bring to our lives? Chodesh is alacham, says Rav Soloveitchik, Rosh Chodeshim. The first commandment they were given in Egypt, the first commandment they were given in Egypt, which signaled liberation, was to mark time. There's great significance in the fact that we continue to mark time. A slave is relieved of mitzvahs ashrei shahazman grama, time-bound mitzvahs, because the slave lacks the time experience. To the slave, quote, time is a curse. Remember, before Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were avadim hayinu, the power of Mitzrayim. So why is Rosh Chodesh the first national mitzvah? Shabbos. You know the idiom? It's not that the Jews keep Shabbos, it's that Shabbos keeps the Jews. Yom Kippur, Bris Milah, Kashrus, Taras HaMashpacha. You start with time. Yeah, because time is freedom. Time is freedom. And someone else owning your time is slavery. To the slave, time is a curse. He waits for the day to pass. Because, quote, the slave's time is the property of his master. Remember, oh yeah, I took the pasuk off the screen, but if you remember, Shmos Perek and Beis pasuk Aleph is Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim lemor. That's significant. God came to them when they were still in the land of Egypt, and He said, "We're about to begin the Yitziah. I'm about to tell you about Korban Pesach, but before I tell you that, be'eretz Mitzrayim, you're still in the slave mentality. Leave that slave mentality. I'm giving you the biggest gift. You're going to own your time." The slave's time is the property of the master. No matter how hard he may try to be productive in time, he will not reap the harvest of the work. And so he is insensitive to time. The passing of hours, days, weeks, life to the slave is very dull. Life to the slave is motionless. There is no passage of time because every day belongs to the master. The slave lacks the great excitement of opportunities knocking on his door. He lacks the excitement of challenges summoning him to action. He even lacks tense expectation and fear of failure, because any experience inseparably bound up with time is foreign to the slave. And that means basically everything in life is foreign to the slave, except what the master wants him to do. Therefore, time awareness, says Rav Soloveitchik, has three basic components. First, retrospection. Memory. What happened in the past? It's a crucial component to time. What did I do yesterday? Remember the trip we took last year? Just today, we were driving home from the physician appointment. I said to my husband, I don't know why, I think it's balmy and it's coming into November. I said to my husband, the last three, four years, multiple times so far, I was in LA. You remember for work. You remember what happened. And that adds to the human experience. So first, the mention of time, says Rav Soloveitchik, is retrospection. Without memory, there is no time. Second, the exploration of things yet unborn and the anticipation of events. What do we call that? What's anticipation of events? Future. So I remember what I did in the past. I anticipate what's coming in the future. And third, to appreciate and evaluate the present moment as one's most precious possession. I'm quoting from Chumash Masoras Rav Shamos, page 85. I will say it again. The third dimension of time is to appreciate or evaluate the present moment as one's most precious possession. The present is the grandest gift of boundless potential that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Not HaChodesh Hazeh Rishon Hu Lachem. Rishon L'Chal Tshei Hashanah. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chal Tshei Hashanah. You're going free? Here's time. It's a little scary. Because in the world in which we live today, I don't know how much progress we've made in appreciating time and maximizing time and utilizing time or wasting time. It's a frightening question. If time equals freedom, have we become enslaved to modern society that robs us of our time? Time awareness, says Rav Soloveitchik, also contains a moral element. We have responsibility for emerging events. We must intervene in the historical process. If you are time aware, you are morally bound. You have a responsibility to maximize that time. Man, according to Judaism, should try and mold and fashion the future. You can't sit idly by. You have to take responsibility. In fact, plan to tell it over in a shir later this week, so you might hear it twice. But I was just reading Rabbi Rosner's book on the Parsha, Shalom Rav, that why did Hashem tell Noach to build the Teva with all the exact dimensions, and he made him work for 120 years, and he's sweating away and banging nails and hammer and wood. Everyone thinks he's crazy. It was a miracle anyway that Noach was saved, and all the animals, 2x2 for the non-kosher, 7x7 for the kosher, and the family, 3 floors. I mean, it was a miracle that they were saved. So why did God, why was he so matriach, the tzaddik, to build the Teva? Just save them by a miracle. Finish. Destroy everything. Save them. What does he have to go to work? So Rabbi Rosner quotes one of the Mefarshim. And he writes, because man must do hishtadlus. Man has to invest effort in order to effect a miracle. And that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik is saying here. Man, according to Judaism, should try to mold and fashion the future. When you live in the present, realize that that is the most powerful gift you have and use it to mold the future. What is our tafkid? Listen carefully. I'm going to say a sentence a couple of times because it's so poetically, stirringly beautiful. Says Rav Soloveitchik, we must connect retrospection with anticipation. We must connect memory to expectation, hindsight with foresight. Again, we went through the dimensions of time. Soloveitchik says it much fancier than past, present, and future. Retrospection, memory, exploration and expectation and anticipation of what will come, and appreciation and evaluation of the present. And what is my tafkid? To connect retrospection with anticipation, to connect memory with expectation, hindsight with foresight. In order to do this, you must cherish the present, because the fleeting moment represents eternity. That fleeting moment of time, when I choose to connect retrospection with anticipation, memory with future, past with present to what's coming ahead, as I live up to my goal, hopefully, as an Eved Hashem, that fleeting moment represents eternity. And so Judaism, says the Rav, has a very sensitive approach to the present. Every minute is valuable. Every second is precious. With a fraction of a second, hopes may be realized or destroyed. Visions, expectations. For instance, we are extremely time conscious. You may do work on Friday afternoon until 1 minute before sunset, mutter. 1 minute after sunset, chayav, usser. Time is of critical importance, not years, not months, but seconds and split seconds. Time awareness is the singular gift granted to free men. And man owns time, and he can utilize it to the utmost, or he can waste it. It's such a challenge today. It's such a challenge today to utilize our time appropriately because of technology. I'm going to begin to end. I think it's going to take me 10 minutes. I'm going to quote from a beautiful idea by Rabbi Benjamin Newton, renowned Rav and leader. Do any of you, like I do, after Rosh Chodesh Halal, say Va'avram Zakein Bo Bayamim V'Hashem Beirachas Avram Bakol? Yeah? Yes, I do. It's right before Avram sends Eliezer, the Eved, to search for the first Shidduch, Parshas Chayei Sarah, Bereishis 24:1. Did anybody ever wonder why we specifically say that on Rosh Chodesh? Until I prepared this year, I did not have an answer. In fact, a number of years ago, someone once asked me, and I mamish didn't have an answer until I prepared for this year, so I was very excited. Okay, Rabbi Yudin writes, reverence for the past. We are a people who revere the past. We revere our elders. Rav Shai Shechter over Am Yom Tov, he came by to check one of my boys' Dalad Minim. She told us a beautiful vart. There's only two times in the Torah, there's two mitzvahs in the Torah that have to do with Hidur. He came to check one of the boys' Dalad Minim, the son wanted to make sure it was kosher. So one is pre-Eitz Hadar. Lakachtam lechem beyam rishon. I did a lot of shiurim on that during that. He'll show you pre-Eitz Hadar, kapos marim pre-Eitz Hadar. And the other, Parshas Kedoshim, who knows? Even though you're not with me, so I can't ask you, and I don't have time to have you start typing it. Mipnei seva takum vehadarta pnei zakein. The two mitzvahs of Hidur, and it's very significant when the Torah uses two words, the same lashon, are the esrog, which we much revere and treat and check and put in a case and use it for a mitzvah, and the other one is hadarta pnei zakein when it comes to revering our elders. So we are a people who has tremendous respect for the past. We don't throw away the past and only look to the future. We don't live in the present in isolation like we just examined through Salvechik. The past is important, retrospection, the future is important, anticipation, the bridges, the here and now, which is the gift of eternity. So powerful. Reverence for the past, writes Rabbi Yudin, begins with Avraham Avinu. Avram Zakein Boboya. Avram Zakein bo bayamim v'Hashem beirachas Avram bakol. The Gemara teaches, until Avram, there were no visual signs of old age. And Avram Avinu prayed for recognizable old age to come into existence. Avram said, a father and a son will enter the room. They won't know who's the father and who's the son. So Hashem responded in the affirmative. The old age of Avram is a blessing, fulfillment, and accomplishment. This can also be understood from a spiritual perspective. From a physical perspective, the senior years are marked by a lessening of, excuse me. From a physical perspective, one's senior years are marked by significant diminution of physical strength, prowess, and accomplishment. Avraham Avinu wanted old age so the elderly would be venerated. Indeed, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Kedushin, Rav Yochanan would greet and rise before the elderly of even the non-Jewish community, stating that they had weathered the various storms in life. And then Rabbi Yudin says, the Gemara teaches in Maseches Bava Kama, the coin of Avraham Avinu. Did anyone ever hear of the coin of Avraham Avinu? Had an elderly couple on one side and a young couple on the other. I never heard that. Doesn't mean anything. There's so much, unfortunately, that I do not know, but I found this very interesting teaching. So I'm going to take you to the Gemara in Bava Kama right here. Okay, I prepared it on the screen. And look at this, I managed to look it up, 97b. Okay. Matbea shel Avraham Avinu zakein vizkeinam mitzad echad. Ubachur ubesula mitzad echad. The coin of Avraham Avinu taka, coin is two sides, had a zakein and a zakein, an old man and an old woman on one side, and a young man and a young woman on the other side. So look at Rashi on the Gemara. Rashi on the Gemara says, who was the Bachur and the Besula on one side of the coin? Yitzchak and Rivka. Who was the Zakein and the Zakena on the other side of the coin? Avram and Sarah. So it was a coin of Avram and Sarah. So on one side, there was an old man and an old woman. On the other side, there was an imprint of a youthful man and a young woman. And that represents the transmission of the Masorah, says Rashi. One side was Avram and Sarah. On the other side was Yitzchak and Rivka. Continuity. One generation to another generation. But the Maharsha says no. This coin refers exclusively to Avram and Sarah. How so? One side was an old man and old woman. One side was a Bachur and a Basula. To enable them to have Yitzchak, they were transformed to younger individuals. Acharei velosi, haisi li'edna. After I'm old and withered, my skin will be youthful. Yes. She was youthful once again. They underwent a renewal. At the age of 89 and 99, Sarah and Avram respectively went from being a Zakena and a Zakena to a Bachur. And so to speak, a young woman, I don't want to use the word basula exactly, but young. That says the Maharsha is this coin with two sides. They represent the same two individuals, our first patriarch and our first matriarch. One side was Avram and Sarah. The other side was also Avram and Sarah. One represented their old age and one represented their renewal, their youthfulness. So they could conceive. Perhaps this is the reason I am so excited we have an answer. For the custom we find in many Sidurim that recommend upon the completion of Halal, we should say, Va'avram zakein bo bayamim, Hashem berachas Avram bakal. Avram was old, coming on in years. God blessed him with all. Rosh Chodesh is a time of renewal, right before he's about to undertake the project of finding the Shidduch for Yitzchak. Yitzchak, who was born in his old age, but who was born when he had the time to renew. We remember the power of renewal, the one coin. And sometimes you might feel like a zaken or a zkena. It's a krach and it's a hargana. You might feel the erev weighing down on you. But don't forget the flip side of the coin. The moon renews. Avram and Sarah renewed. The boker comes after erev. And we too have the power every month to renew the people that we are. Rosh Chodesh, writes Rabbi Yudin, is a time of renewal. It's a renewal of the moon. It's renewal of taking note of our relationship with God. Just like Avram and Sarah experienced renewal. But Avram zakein, but he was bo bayamim. Every day counted. Every day is a possibility for renewal. Every month affords us a new opportunity. While their renewal was physical in nature, the rabbis noticed spiritual transformation occurred as well. I'm skipping because I see my time. He says, to conclude, the first part of one's life, says Rabbi Yudin, is often spent working on behalf of family and society. But the remaining years, the years of Zakein and Zkena, are a time of renewal for personal self-actualization that may have been so limited in the earlier years when you're busy raising your family, going to work, running the household, doing the errands, seeing your clients, working for your patients. You often don't have time for self. And so sometimes the years of youth are spent on others. When you come to the Avram Zakein Bo Bayamim, you can have this spiritual renewal that the younger years did not afford you. So of course, it's not only that Avram and Sarah were physically renewed, they were spiritually renewed. And that's what we must celebrate, maximize, capitalize every single Rosh Chodesh. So the first national mitzvah was not Shabbos, not Yom Kippur, not Tzaras HaMishpacha, not Kashas. Lo haya tzarich lahaschil, ala min ha-chodesh ha-zelechem, shri mitzvah rishona shenitztavu bo Yisrael. Thank you so much for inviting me back to speak. Thank you for zooming in. On the Azor Hashem, our shir will continue next Monday night. Thank you and chodesh tov to everybody.